Welcome to the Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere podcast. I'm your host, Joel Gardner, joined as always by my buddy, Derek Sweet. This is episode number 42 of the podcast. I guess you could call this our Halloween episode. So in the tradition of Halloween, we're going to start this episode off with something from the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. This is the revisited edition. So this is Marilyn Manson and Tim Skold doing This Is Halloween. Nightmare Before Christmas stuff going on.
Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween time. I don't know if that's like a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie. I guess it's both. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's not even Halloween yet and my teeth are already sore.
Oh my God, mine too. Like too much candy already.
It's weird getting old. Like you could eat so much candy as a kid, but
yeah, last night I had like a little Snickers bar and I bit down. I was like, oh damn, that's the sign of too much candy when you bite and you have that sensitive... I don't know if it's a cavity. I hope I don't have cavities. Never had a cavity before. Ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, neither have I, but my dad's a dentist, so.
That's definitely an advantage.
Dude, this is one of the fucked up things that I tell people. They're always like, really? But, like, my mom flossed my teeth until I was, like, 9 years old. Like,
what?
Yeah. My parents were psychotic about dental care.
She did it for you?
Yeah, like, I laid down on a counter.
Laid down on a counter.
Yeah, and my mom flossed my teeth till I was 9. So this may explain some of the issues as to how I got so fucked up. I don't know, but no, that's dead true. I need to talk about that on stage. That's a messed up thing.
That is messed up, man.
Yeah,
it's almost like breastfeeding till you're seven or something. Did you do that, Derek?
It's nowhere near as fucked up as that because I wasn't sucking on my mom's tit. She just put her hands in my mouth. That's a little bit different, but yeah, no, they were psychotic about dental care.
Yeah. Well, you got nice teeth.
And yet I ate more candy than any one of my friends.
Well, I guess that's why they had to be up on that shit.
Well, no, it's a Catholic schoolgirl in college. It's like, you know, you deprive a kid of something, they're going to go crazy on it when they can get it. And that's exactly what...
You're calling Catholic schoolgirls whores, man?
They are when they get into college. It's not just... This isn't just some theory of mine.
Damn. Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere.
This is Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere.
Halloween edition.
Halloween edition. Well, let's talk about some Halloween stuff. I heard you had some scary incident after your dog yesterday.
Yeah, dude. My dog was attacked.
What's up with that? What happened? I haven't even heard this story.
My parents took him to the dog park, so I wasn't there.
You weren't even there.
I wasn't even there. My parents took him to the dog park, and he just got attacked by a golden retriever and just crazy. You saw him. He's got no eyebrow.
Yeah, he's got one eyebrow now.
And there's 16 stitches in his head, yeah, which 16. To a dog is like half his fucking head.
Yeah.
Like, he's really hurt, and it was probably one of the hardest days of my life, man, actually. I can't even imagine, like, you have a kid. I can't even imagine what a parent goes through when their child's sick, dude.
Like, yeah, I think about it all the time. Like, even the littlest thing that happens, my daughter, I just go crazy.
Because, yeah, no, going through that yesterday and just watching my dog cry for 8 hours was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through.
So, that's the only explanation you got from your parents? Did you not try to get deeper, exactly happened? They couldn't tell you?
You know, they said he went over and to see the other dog, and the dog attacked him.
Because it's a no-leash dog park.
It's no-leash dog park, yeah, and he apparently has become much more protective since they've had a baby, and they had the baby there in the carriage. Hunter didn't go anywhere near the baby, but just apparently the dog is, like, super. So now I need to make this awesome decision as to whether I report the dog to animal control or not. The owners are really nice. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough call. They shouldn't have had their dog at the dog park, I guess, if it had that tendencies. If they knew that he's become extra protective, then why do you have your dog there?
I know.
You know?
So it's funny that they would tell me that, too. It's, like, such a huge thing to say legally, right? I'm like, wow, you are, you know, so
that, admitting that your dog has been overly aggressive pretty much lately.
I know. But anyways, they say they're going to get me the money in a couple weeks, so I'm lending them money now too.
What? Oh, to fix your dog?
Yeah, like I had to pay Hunter's vet emergency bills, and they're like, yeah, we think we might be able to get you the money by November. I'm like, you think? And then the guy asked my dad, do you like art? My dad's like, no, we don't like art.
Do you like art?
Yes.
Like, here's a painting I painted. Do you like this?
It's so funny, too, because I was just bragging to Kelsey. I'm like, yeah, with comedy money coming in, I managed to save $650 to put towards my my new car that I just bought. I get to pay off, like, I'm just putting in money towards my credit and my debt.
Yeah.
And it's like, Hunter's bills, $650. Exactly how much money I saved this month.
Oh, man.
So.
Yeah, pets, they're an expense.
Oh, well, but he's okay. He was bad last night, and I didn't sleep all night, and I'm going to go to sleep right after this football game. After this podcast, I'll watch the rest of the football game, then I'm going to sleep for a couple hours, because I didn't sleep last night.
Sleep.
Very little. And, but, yeah.
Or you just put that cone on his head.
Because he doesn't need it yet.
Oh, no.
He hasn't started scratching. He just scratched it out that one time because he brushed up against my leg, but, yeah, he's going to need the cone soon.
Well, you want to talk about some other scary stuff, man? Let's, what would you want to talk about some games that have been released lately? Let's talk about Zombie Apocalypse 2.
Yeah, Zombie Apocalypse 2. That's Halloween related anyways.
Oh yeah, it's I guess that would be qualify as Halloween.
I got to say, it's got to be really cool to see yourself in a video game.
Yeah, man. I must admit, I've been in, like, you know, TV, web series and movies and shit like that, but yeah, I have to say it was super cool, man. Like, that opening sequence to see Jeremy and FPS Doug ripping shit, killing some zombies. The art was gorgeous, man.
Really good art.
Okay, first of all, what we're talking about here is the sequel to Zombie Apocalypse, which is a top-down kind of TV Smash?
Smash TV.
We keep getting video game names mixed up or reversed.
Crash Burnout.
Yeah, yeah. So it's along that style, top down, except this time you actually get to move through levels, which I think is a lot better.
Oh, yeah, because the first one, you just stayed still.
Yeah, it was just like one level kind of. You just stayed in that one area.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but now this time you actually get to progress through a level. And right now, Jeremy is, I would say, the main character, man. He's the one that's going through the tutorials and telling you how to do everything. What's going on over there?
Just fixing it.
Oh, okay.
Technical difficulties there for a sec. But yeah, no, he is. He's like narrating it. He's telling you what buttons to press to do stuff. Like, he's like, I don't know why you'd want to play anybody else, but you can press LB and RB. I do a terrible Jeremy. I'm horrible impressionist. Press LB and RB to change other characters. Don't know why you'd want it, because I'm fucking awesome.
This is my Jeremy here.
This is why I do straight stand-up and no impression comedy.
No character comedy.
Every once in a while, I talk about cops from Saskatchewan and I give it a southern accent, and people are like, why are you giving it Saskatchewan? I'm like, I don't know. Shut up.
I'm trying my best. But back to Zombie Apocalypse. Never Die Alone is actually what it's called, not Zombie Apocalypse 2. It is the second one, but it is actually called Never Die Alone. So, it's produced by Konami, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And Doug isn't in it yet. He'll be in the DLC, which is released next month. So, I'm so looking forward to playing that.
I know. It's got to be
like,
so
it's one
cool
thing playing as Jeremy, you know, like as one of your buddies. That's super cool.
Yeah.
But once Doug comes out, I mean,
yeah, we're definitely, like, I think we should wait until Doug comes out and then play through the whole game together with me as Jeremy and you as Doug.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good plan, man.
That'd be fun.
Good plan.
Well, actually, we won't be able to play as you. Maybe will you be able to play as you in the game that comes out now, or only in the DLC levels?
No, only in the DLC. Yeah, okay. You won't be able to play him through this campaign.
No, okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess. So it's only 800 points, which is awesome.
That's a good deal.
It's pretty short, though. It's about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I think it's a blast. So far, I've played through the first like 5 or 6 levels, and I'm loving it, dude.
Nice, man.
I think Jeremy says some really funny shit, man.
Yeah, he's made me laugh like 3 times. I only played the first level with you. It's always weird, like when you, it's like the same thing when a Pure Ownage episode, you guys would be like, have you watched it yet? I'd be like, no, I haven't gone to it yet. It's like, when it's your friends, you're like, yeah, no, I'll see it eventually.
You still haven't seen Cardboard Warfare 2,
still haven't watched,
man.
Cardboard Warfare 2. That's how much of an asshole I am. we have talked about watching it like 3 or 4 times, and then we're just like, we don't.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it's understandable. I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many of my stand-up shows have you come to? Like, in 4 years, you've come, like, 3 times, I think?
What? I've come to a lot of your stand-up shows, man. Maybe not as much as I used to back in the day when Jarrett was doing stand-up comedy, but...
Yeah, you were his cameraman.
Yeah. I just got saturated with bad amateur comedy. I just couldn't handle it anymore. There's some good shows. There's some good amateur comics out there, but...
Oh, every open mic has 2 or 3 great 5-minute segments, but
yeah,
unfortunately,
you just
there's like
the
8
bad shit.
There's like it's 8
the bad
there,
part. Yeah.
And no, I mean, it's not like I'm. Every comic has those bad 5 minutes too.
Yeah.
I go up and eat shit at open mics because you don't know. It's, you think it's funny because you were drinking with your buddies and you said it and they all laughed and you're like, oh, I gotta write that down. And then you go and try and translate it to stage and people go like,
this was funny last night, you bastards.
If you were sitting with me and all my friends drinking like 10 beers, you would have laughed your ass off at that. You can't.
Anyway, so go check out Zombie Apocalypse, Never Die Alone. There's a whole whack of new Pure Ownage stuff in the marketplace too, man.
Yeah?
I didn't notice. Like t-shirts, hats, a whole bunch of shit, man.
In the Xbox Live marketplace?
Yeah, for like your avatar and stuff.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude, you should check it out, actually.
I'm going to go get some.
Yeah, it's really cool. I haven't picked any up yet, but you can check my Twitter feed. I tweeted it out the other day, a link.
Cool, man. So you were asking me, since we're sticking with the Halloween theme, what's my favorite, what do I think scariest game of all time?
Yeah, man, that's, okay, first of all, what do you think the scariest game of all time is? That might be a different answer to what your favorite scary game of all time is, but what scared you the most, man?
This is how I'll answer that question. How intoxicated was I when I was playing it?
The more intoxicated, like, the more scared you get?
Dude, I was pretty drunk when I played Dead Space 2, and I was almost brought to tears. I was so afraid.
Yeah, you told me
that.
Then I played through it, and I was like, damn, it's not that scary.
I know. I had to turn it off.
Yeah, right? Really?
I had to turn it off because I was too emotionally fucked up because I was so scared. Right? But it's like, I wasn't exactly sober either. So yeah, Dead Space 2 is way up there. What was the other one I mentioned? Fear 2 freaked me out just because it was a psychological thriller rather than just a shock, when it really has a great story. And
yeah, I think Fear 1 is up there for me. The first time I played Fear 1, I found very scary. Alan Wake, dude, I found terrifying, man.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of times playing through Alan Wake that I was really scared, and I kind of had to turn the lights back on a couple times.
That was Kelsey's first answer, too. I don't know if she was joking or not, though. But
really?
We played that. Yeah, we played that together.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about that I found pretty terrifying, man. The first Resident Evil.
Yeah.
That was one of the first horror games I actually played.
Yeah, because that game combined horror with difficulty.
Yeah.
So it was hard, and that made it very scary as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm terrified playing Dead Souls sometimes. Dark Souls. I keep
Dark
saying
Souls.
Dead Souls. Dark Souls.
Really?
You get scared because you're a long way from your spawn point, and there's some...
That's a kind of different scare, though,
but
isn't it?
It's combined with some very scary imagery as well. Like
really?
Skeletons and, you know, like crazy... I mean, skeletons aren't that scary. Yes, that's, if you're 8... Skeletons are pretty scary. But no, there's lots of scary stuff in Dark Souls. It's crazy.
Is there?
Yeah. Like, I'm still playing that game, even though Batman's out. I'm squeezing in Batman, but I'm forcing myself to play it. Not because it's hard to play it, but because I just really want to be playing Dark Souls.
Dude, okay, fucking Batman, dude. I don't know how you're just squeezing that shit in, because it is seriously the game that broke me out of my standification.
I was going to say, standification is clearly
far.
Over. You look like a kid right now. You're so excited.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, like I said, I popped in Shadow of the Colossus the other day before I got Batman. 20 minutes in, I was done.
Yeah.
I had enough. It was too old, too clunky controls. Batman, motherfucker!
Yeah,
oh my
wicked.
God, it was a complete different story. As soon as I popped it in, I loved everything about this game. The presentation, the way it looks, the story. Oh, man.
And the obvious huge, the open city environment.
The open city environment.
They pulled it off so well.
Just so well. As soon as you get your Batman costume, just go and just fly from building to building. Mm-hmm. Your bat claw goes so far now, like almost three times as far as it did in the first game, man.
Yeah, it's true. And it still works. You'd think that going that far, you'd never get the right ledge that you wanted, yeah, but it works.
No. Yeah, it works every time. And, yeah. And what else works perfectly is the melee system, the combat system. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, is that just beautiful.
They've doubled the number of guys you fight at a time, it seems.
It seems that way. There was at times in the first game you'd fight a lot of guys, but it wasn't as much, it seemed.
I'm pretty sure I fought over 30 guys in one scene at one point. I'm a little bit further than you, which is funny how I'm like, I'm squeezing it in and I'm at like 16% and you're
I don't know. Are you doing like less side missions or something? Because you're further along in the main story, but...
No, my you said you were only at 8% on the front screen and I'm at 16.
No, I was at... Yeah, that was the last time I checked. That was after a couple hours put in. I don't know where I'm at now, but...
It doesn't take long, man. It doesn't seem like it's going to be. But no, I do a few side missions, but yeah, there's a lot to do.
There's a lot to do. It's deep, man.
And the interface really for managing all your different side quests. Like, I love how you can bring up... And I love how the side quests have percentage completions. It's not just a little thing you do.
Just a something you go and do, complete, and finish off. It's something you complete as you progress through the game. It's
like, for example, my favorite one so far is Zaz with the ringing phones.
Yeah, the ringing phones.
So you'll just be running. All of a sudden, a payphone's ringing. You answer it, and he goes, "You got to get to this other payphone in a minute and a half, or I'm going to kill this person." And then you got to go there, and then you got to trace his call while he's talking. Mm-hmm. And you got to do it like 8 times before you finally find where he is, which I haven't even found him yet.
No, I haven't found him yet either. Like I said, the side quests are meant to go through. You're not just supposed to get a side quest and just keep doing that side quest till it's done. I think it's something you do as you're doing the main story as well. It's beautiful, man.
And the interface is so, for managing it and seeing all your side quests, it's perfect.
It's perfect, dude. It's this is one of the best games. It is easily the best superhero comic book game ever made. Yeah. If not one of the best games ever made, I think.
What I love about it... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, the other thing when you're talking about the tracking down with the cell phone and stuff, this isn't just more of the same of the first game, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not just, okay, yeah, now you're just in an open city and, you know, it's just more of the same. There's a lot more added to it. I have never felt more like Batman...
That's what I was going to say.
...than I do in this game. Like, Batman is a detective... Mm-hmm. At the core, and there is so many cool detective elements now in this game, like that tracking the cell phone,
the bullet trajectory stuff,
determining that, tuning into different radio wavelengths, you know, when you're tracking down the Riddler, you know, and he gives you these clues to radio frequencies.
Yeah.
Oh, so many awesome stuff in this game, dude.
And I love how as you move through, it's like they did it in Arkham Asylum too, so this isn't a new thing, but it's what I've always loved about the series is that every chapter of the game, let's call it, feels like you picked up a new comic book and you're reading it. You know, Batman's fighting, the focus is now on Penguin, where it was on Joker at first, but now it's like you're reading the Penguin issue, you know?
Yeah.
Have you got to the Penguin stuff yet?
Oh, yeah.
You're now on the Penguin issue, right? And then if you're doing the Bane side quest, well, you're kind of on the Bane issue, you know? It's like, and I love that. But then there's the main plot at all times, just like when you're reading the comic. Oh, wait, no, that's the main overarching plot story of the whole, you know? They capture that feeling of being Batman in the sense of you are a comic book hero when you're playing this game.
And you know what I have to say? It might be my favorite part of this game, dude.
Hmm.
Catwoman.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. I almost prefer being Catwoman, man.
Oh, I like the... Especially in the city when she's doing the whips and the jumps instead whips of the flying.
Then,
oh.
Yeah. You fly, jump off a building, and then you can use your whip to grab onto something, and then you whip yourself, and then grabbing onto a side of a building and jumping up the side of the buildings, you know, clawing your way up.
And they made them kind of like quick action sequences where you have to go,
and then it judges you how good you did, if you did it poor, too early, or too late, and... amazing.
And
man.
Fighting as her is just, she's so much more acrobatic and doing backflips and cartwheels.
I was going to say that too. Even the combat with Catwoman, I think, is so much cooler, man.
I think there's only 3 Catwoman sequences, though.
Yeah, that's the bad part. But is it only 3? Because I've already gone through 2.
Yeah, I've already gone through 2 as well. But I think when I went to her menu, there's only 3. Maybe more will appear. But the third one...
I don't know.
One...
that you can level up as Catwoman, man. There's a lot of Catwoman shit.
But my favorite thing about it, we have to mention this, is that they aren't just missions on the side. If you download the DLC... the Catwoman missions are interwoven into the story of the campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
So that if you don't have it and you start, you're seeing credits right off the start where Hugo Strange is talking to Batman. But if you have the Catwoman missions, you play 5 minutes as Catwoman before even the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into the same opening.
See, that's the thing. I got that in my copy, man. You said you didn't think I was going to get it, but I actually got it in my copy.
The
Catwoman stuff.
Nice, yeah. So it must have been a pre-order, by day of release thing.
Yeah, by the way, I got this at Walmart. Batman nice. Arkham Asylum and Arkham City for the same price. It was like Arkham Asylum was thrown in for free.
Which meant Walmart had a whole lot of Arkham Asylums
apparently.
Left over.
Yeah.
And they were like, no one's going to want these anymore. It's like NHL 11 when NHL 12 comes out.
Yeah.
Did I tell you how much they offered me for... $2.
Wow, $2.
When I brought it in on the day, NHL 11, they're like, yeah, why would anybody want this? Aren't you selling it over there for $45, that used copy?
Wow.
So you're going to pay me $2 and turn around and sell it for $45, which a lot of people will buy it.
Yeah, still.
Yeah. Anyways.
Robin, have you played as Robin? You got this Robin thing, haven't you?
Yeah, I have a play as Robin. I think that's only for the challenge levels.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, crazy. Well, that's Batman. I cannot recommend it enough. It's seriously the first game in a long time that I actually think about when I'm not playing it.
Nice.
You know?
It's good to hear.
Yeah, where I can't wait to get back into Arkham City and fly around. So, yeah, that's Batman. Go get that shit.
We missed one more Halloween topic, too, which is the girl that...
This girl that... accidentally hung herself. Okay, what was this, like a Halloween exhibit or something that's going on?
It was like a haunted house
in Calgary. We accidentally had got a noose tied around her neck and was hanging there, and people thought it was part of the exhibit.
Yeah, so this is what they say. She was part of this bathtub exhibit. Who knows what her bathtub... I'm telling you, and if her bathtub exhibit was that she was lying in a bathtub with her wrist slit or something, clearly she did this intentionally. But, because she's obviously got something to do with suicide. She's got a fascination with suicide. But they found her hanging from a noose near this bathtub, and the noose was a prop. And they think she was joking around and put the noose around her neck and then slipped and then actually hung herself. And people walked by and were like, wow, that's really realistic. That looks...
So she dead?
No, she's in critical condition, but she is like severe brain damage and stuff like that from no oxygen. And
where did this happen?
I can't remember. Let me see. St. Louis, Missouri.
After getting tangled in a noose. It's like tangled in a noose.
The girl is thought to have fallen off a bathtub at Creepy World, where she had been working for 2 weeks. It is thought that members of the public may have walked past her thinking she was a scary prop. She was discovered by a colleague who was checking on the safety of employees at around 8:30 p.m. last night. So it's a good thing that they had the guy check it for safety. Isn't that weird, though? Like, how long do you think she could have hung there? She would have had to start stinking, like, really bad.
Well, not only that, how long could you survive strangling like that? Like, how long was she hanging there and she's still alive?
Yeah, it says she's in critical condition after being tangled in a noose. She was found unconscious with a prop around her neck. So anyways, yeah, I just think it's fascinating that people would walk by and go, you know, that's how desensitized we are to real dead bodies now, because our effects are so good.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
we're watching, you know, if this was 30 years ago.
Well, if she wasn't struggling or anything like that, like I could see if she wasn't like screaming for
50
help
years
or anything.
Ago, 50 years ago in the 60s, if there was a body hanging from a noose, people would go, holy fuck. They would not be just,
yeah, yeah. Because
wow,
it wouldn't be a
prop.
Body. It would be like a mannequin or something. Like.
Yeah, exactly, right? They would know there's no way that's fake.
Yeah,
like, that is a
yeah.
real dead body hanging there. You know, so
there's
I think
no way that's real, you mean, yeah.
I think it's fascinating, the fact that we are so desensitized to real dead bodies. Well, like, I really think from most of the movies that people have seen on TV, most of us could watch a person take the bullet to the head now and not vomit or be too fucked up over it. We'd be like, whoa, I just watched a person get killed, and the emotional trauma of that would be... But I don't think the visuals would fuck people up that much.
Yeah, it's hard to say, man, I think. Unless you're actually there, it might be a different thing. Like, watching fights on TV is one thing, but then going to live fights is completely different. Like, I went to some live fights the other day and just... Or not the other day, a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess I'm way off, actually. I bet you anybody that's actually gone through a traumatic experience would tell me I'm completely full of shit right now. I guess what it is that in a situation where you're expecting the fake violence, you're desensitized to it then, in the sense that you just can't recognize because effects are so good.
So, yeah, anyway, that's... You got anything else you want to talk about, man? I mean, Halloween, you hear about fucking... What's that?
I haven't talked about my Halloween costume yet.
Oh, yeah. You're going as
Mintberry Crunch. The power of minty berries with a satisfying yet tasty crunch.
So awesome. One of the best characters from South Park.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the 3 episodes of South Park of Coon versus Coon and Friends, you have to watch those 3 episodes of South Park, because there's a character named Mintberry Crunch who's the funniest superhero ever.
He's more... Yeah, it's a great costume, man.
I just love the scene with him and Cartman where it's like, so what's your superpower? He goes, the combination of minty berries with a satisfying crunch. And he goes, I don't know, it's not really a superpower. I think you're missing something. He's like what, milk? He's like, no, not like milk, Mintberry Crunch. You're still not getting this. So it was a hard costume to make too, man. I have to have the left half of my head be a pink berry. And so just start thinking about how you would make the left side of your head
pink. Maybe you just paint yourself, or you did a good job, man. You made this, what is it made out of? Like this silk or fucking?
It's just a piece of cloth we got from Fabricland, and then I sewed an elastic band into it. So I cut it. I cut a like big a mask circle now. Out. Yeah, I cut a big circle out, and then I made a little hem, and then I sewed it on. Which, by the way, Kelsey was supposed to be the one to figure out how to do it, but I was the one who figured out how to do it.
Sewing power.
I know. I actually really enjoyed sewing. I was like, man, I actually might sew.
I might break out some sewing
skills. It was meditative, man. I was relaxed, and I got really good at it by the time I was finished. I was like, weren't, weren't.
Nice, man.
Weren't. No, I'm like doing a podcast, and I'm just making sound. That's what I was doing. I was making that sound while I was doing, but no. If you were watching me, you would see the hand gesture going along, in the sense that those sounds indicated that I was...
You would have seen his delicate fingers going to work.
Yes. The funny thing is, as I was explaining what I was doing to you, I was still just doing it like you still can see me.
Oh, man. You hear about our local mayor now just calling for the protesters to... move along now. It's about time you just move along. You know, like, playtime's over. You guys have had your fun now. Like, come on, move along. Does he not gather the scope of, like, what's actually happening? Is he that ignorant to what's actually going on? Or I don't understand. Well, and how do you tell protesters that it's just time to move along? Yeah, do we not have the freedom to just gather and protest anymore? I don't understand.
No, we do, but he's dismissing them, right? He's just saying, exactly. Come on. He's like, come on, look, you guys.
He thinks it's stupid. A joke, which is unfortunate, because that's how it's being portrayed a lot of areas. That this is, I think that's how they're combating this, man.
Yeah, and people are helping them. That's the fucked up thing. Like, I'm talking to people and they're like, oh, yay, these stupid protesters, they're so dumb. And it's like, why are you being so cynical against them? Why do you have so much sympathy for CEOs that paid themselves billions of dollars in bonuses when they've just received government bailouts? And why are you siding with them? I can't understand why anybody would side with the banks on this.
It's really weird, man. It's really weird. Even just...
It's a hip to be square kind of thing? I don't even know. Is it like I'm against the...
What's the thing? I just think people don't want to be labeled as like hippies. And a lot of people only get their news still from a lot of main media sources, which is like, you know, they show all these retarded hippies out there, you know, which unfortunately they're just gonna be there. They're gonna be a part of this.
The only clips that you see of well-spoken people at those protests are on the internet. You never see those awesome clips on the news, like, because there's some clips out there of some guys that are fucking brilliant.
Oh yeah, man, there's a lot of intelligent people out there that know exactly what you're talking about, but they won't get the news time or the airtime anywhere.
Well, why would they? The banks that own the media, the banks own the fucking media companies. They're telling them what to put on there. Dude, people be like, that's conspiracy. No, it's not. There was, this is one a great story about it. There was two helicopters, one for CBS and one for ABC News. And both helicopters immediately had technical difficulties at the same time in that their helicopter ran out of fuel or something like that and they had to go refuel. Minutes before the police started attacking protesters with tear gas and batons.
You know why the police are doing that, dude? Because they're pretty much hired by the banks. You know, banks can hire, in New York, banks can hire a police officer for $37 an hour, and they still have all the powers of police, but now they work for the bank. The banks can now tell them where to go and where to be.
I did not know that.
Yeah. $37 an hour, man. You can rent a cop down in New York, and that's what the banks are doing. Like that is nuts. How is that even possible, man?
So it's like,
but then it's like you got to ask yourself, well, who are these cops? Are these cops not like are brothers and sisters and cousins? Like, how are they doing this? Yeah. How are they not morally like? When is it going to come to the point where the cops actually say, "Okay, enough is enough here"? Like, we're now attacking our own families, pretty much.
Well, we'll see if that happens, but. There's, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard there's an IQ limit for being a police officer. You can't be too smart. And I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, there's definitely, I would not be surprised at all to find out that there is definitely inherent, you follow orders no matter what. And that's ingrained. That's their morality. Their morality is duty.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't see it as immoral because they're doing their duty, because their duty is to do what they're told. And I'm not trying to cast that dispersion on all police officers. I'm sure some of them are great fucking guys that are smart as shit. And
at the same time, it's like a lot of those guys, a lot of majority, I'm like, well, shit, I need a job. Like, I need a job too. I need to support my family.
Yeah. But anyway, so you got banks that can hire police officers as their private security force while they still have all the laws. They're the banks that own the fucking media companies, and they're telling the media companies, turn off the cameras before I tell my security officers to go beat the shit out of those protesters.
Dude, what about J.D. Wentworth just making a $4-point-whatever-million-dollar contribution to the New York police?
Wow.
It's right in our face now. Like, it's blatantly right in our face, and they're just kind of laughing at us. It's unreal.
The thing is that everybody knows that this whole system is a huge circle jerk, and then you've still got guys that I guess are such rebels that they're like, no, fuck, I'm not going to come along with what I obviously know is wrong with the world right now. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that's what's wrong with the world right now. And no, it's not anti-capitalism. It's not communism. No. It's not left or right. It is seriously just common sense.
Yeah, exactly, man.
And it's so frustrating. I don't know, but.
Well, fucking 30% interest rates and shit like that. That used to be illegal back in the fucking day. Like, you couldn't even do that. Mm-hmm. But they're taking our money and investing it. They have our money and they spent it. You can't do that. That's what your banker's supposed to have our money. That's what you put it in a bank for. So when in troubled times, it's there and you get it, you know?
Well, it really does cast the light on the illusion of freedom, doesn't it? Like, it really does. There, you know, that was the one thing that you could claim. Well, I'm free because I have control over my money. Really? You actually really don't.
Yeah.
Because you put it in a bank. If it's under your mattress, then I guess you have control of it.
Well, what is money now? Like, what does it even stand for? Like, it used to be one piece of gold was a dollar, you know? It's like, what is money now? It's all just a bunch of numbers that people move around to make more numbers.
They just print more when they need it. And it's like, well, you know, it doesn't, you're right. I don't know. A lot of conspiracy people talk about the whole fiat money system and how we're all doomed because of it. And I don't know.
I just don't think at this point in our evolution, in terms of all this whole internet and access to information and how things can, the truth is now a lot easier to get access to than it was. Like back in the day, to learn about anything, you used to have to go to a library or something like that.
I mean, and there's still examples today of places like North Korea where the people do not know what is happening outside of the world.
Yeah, that is true.
Every single piece of information they receive is controlled. So they literally have a view of the world that is entirely inaccurate.
Yeah, that is true. But a lot of the world now,
Oh, no, but what I'm trying to say is it's great that we do have that, because there's still examples of, you can see, of the way it used to be everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, is okay.
That, you know, look at North Korea. That's the way it's been. It was everywhere that's 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Every king, every country leader controlled
and
every single
blind.
Piece of information.
Yeah, they're still blind, said. Whereas, you know, I think that's why a lot of this is happening now.
You know what's interesting, though, is that they say stuff like that about places like Iran. But when I hear Iranian citizens talking, they seem to know far more about what's going on in the world than the average American I talk to.
Really?
Or a Canadian. Oh, my,
you
yeah,
talk
man.
To a lot of Iranians?
Well, no, you see interviews with them. I actually listen to BBC News all the time, actually, so I hear on XM radio. So they're always, like, interviewing Iranian people because they're very interested in hearing to the Iranian people. Smart fucking people, man.
Mm-hmm.
All of them seem very well informed. Every time they're on, they're like, yeah. The great stuff, too, is like the Libya. They couldn't find a single person that was like, who even thought that Gaddafi was killed in a brutal fashion. They were like, oh, no, it's better than he deserved.
Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't watched the video.
Sodomized with that fucking stick, dude.
No.
See you guys shove the stick right up his ass.
While
man.
He's alive?
Oh, while he's alive. Yeah, and you hear him. Just you hear him. Ah! It's brutal, dude.
I have
brutal.
Not watched that.
They're all chanting like, you know, God is great. It's unreal. It's unreal, man.
Craziness.
But, I mean, fucker gets what he deserves, kind of. I mean, fuck.
I guess.
A lot of people in the ass, but still. Yeah, it's brutal video.
Yeah,
he
definitely did some horrible things.
Yeah, right, did you hear that if the U.S. went to a war with Pakistan, that Iraq would actually be on Pakistan's side?
Really?
Yeah. Like, go figure, eh?
Well, that makes sense. But that
free
we haven't.
Iraq.
And, well, it's great, you know. Well, we did.
We did. We didn't.
I'm just
saying.
No, what I'm saying. If we didn't free them, then they'd be on our side, right?
Yeah,
we
probably.
Freed them to choose Pakistan's side if they wanted to. We, but
we gave them the freedom to choose. All right, let's end this motherfucker because your microphone is falling apart here. Apparently,
yeah, making a lot of noise. I'm sure.
Making a lot of noise. Happy Halloween, motherfuckers.
Woo-hoo.
I don't know what, I don't know what I'm going to do for Halloween. Just probably hand out some candy.
Hey, you can come down to Comedy Monday night if you want, but you got to be in costume.
No, well, I got to take my little girl out for trick-or-treat. First
nice.
Halloween.
Then she's got a dog
cool.
outfit.
Yeah, a little puppy.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, it's been Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere. You can find us, as always, over at sitmos.net, stuckinthemiddleofsomewhere.com. Follow us on Twitter at Joel Gardner, GARDINER.
We're a sweet comedian.
Sweet comedian.